Testing 1, 2, 3. Am I there? Okay. That might have been turned down last week for Chris a little bit. I'm not sure. Joel 2:28 is an interesting passage of scripture. It says, "Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And I've entered the old man classification. I've had a couple of dreams that I believe to be significant, and God actually brought that verse to my mind in Joel 2:28, that your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Total honesty, please don't be offended if you see it differently. I've never been terribly moved by dreams and people that come to you and say, "I had a dream and I had a vision." I think that you can get off track with that stuff pretty quick. I believe there are some authentic ones. It's scriptural. But I think, too, that people often in a desire to come up with answers will, "Oh, I had this dream and I believe I'm supposed to do this or do that." So I think you got to be careful with that. I think it's important to know in your heart of hearts, maybe even before you go announcing to people that God gave you a dream, be sure it was from Him. Be sure it's in correlation with Scripture. I think that's critical. The Bible says to beware of private interpretation, and I think that's a danger. I think there's people that got kind of come up with something nobody else has ever seen, you know. And granted, it is true that at times God will send prophets and special messengers that will see something that they alert people to. So yeah, there's a balance here. So don't run either direction with that. But I think the scripture often comes to my mind in our day and age of beware of private interpretation, because I think sometimes people, "Wow, this means something that nobody else realizes it means." And I think you just got to be careful with those things. So don't read anything into that. But I think those things need to be said. But it does say that your young men will see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In fact, it says in the last days there in Joel chapter 2 that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see dreams and your young men shall see visions. And we do understand from Scripture that in the last days, I personally think that that is during the tribulation period, that there will be somewhat of a revival during a time of persecution. In the opening of the seals, we see where there were the souls of those under the altar that had been martyred. And we know that during the tribulation hour, there's going to be martyrs. And I don't know if you're following the news, but folks, if you're not, you don't have to be an avid news watcher, but you need to at least be informed of some of the things that are taking place. You know why we're back in Iraq, don't you? Because Christians are getting killed. This ISIS group that is taking over in Iraq is beheading people if they don't become Muslim. And many of these folks hiding in the mountains that President Obama has ordered cargo planes to send water and food to, many of these people hiding out in the mountains are thirsty and starving. And they're Christians. They're brothers and sisters in Christ. And so there's some incredible things happening. But in the opening of the seals in Revelation, it says that I heard the souls under the altar saying, "How long, O Lord? How long?" And the devil's on a rampage. And we're seeing some things in my lifetime that I never thought we'd seen. They believe that the ISIS group has killed, now these aren't all Christians, but anybody disagreed with them, they execute, shoot them, or behead them. And they think, they're not sure, but they think probably upwards of 40,000 have been killed already. This is something. I think because things are far away in our world of video games and virtual reality and stuff, I think sometimes we hear stuff and we're unaware that it's actually true. I think we get dulled in our senses sometimes, that we hear stuff and we think, you know, we're wondering, "Well, I wonder if that's really true," you know, and there's phenomenal things happen. That, I was sitting on the bed the other night watching the news. I told my wife, I always record the news and usually watch it late, but I told my wife, I said, "This is tribulation hour stuff, you know. I don't know if this Ebola in Africa is headed for the revelation description or not, but you know, there's places in Revelation where it talks about a third of the world dying, you know. So I don't know where we're headed there, but there's some very significant things going on. And it says in the last days, I'll pour out my spirit. And it's during a persecution time that usually the church arises. Unfortunately, the church hasn't done very well when they're comfortable. Unfortunately. We just haven't done very well when we're comfortable. We get lackadaisical. We become lukewarm. We become pleasure-minded. And it's all about physical things. And the priorities get wrong. Unfortunately, that's why it says, beware when I've blessed you and given you houses and lands and possessions. Beware lest your heart be lifted up with pride and you say, look what I have done. look how well I'm doing. And you forget the Lord your God that brought you out of the land of Egypt. We see that particular passage quoted in different ways, two or three different times in the scripture, that warning. But we're living in interesting times, and I believe that it says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh in the last days, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And I had a couple of dreams recently, and I have no idea where I'm going to go. This is probably going to be a couple messages, I imagine. We'll see. I don't get as shook about that stuff as I used to. I can have a whole bunch of things I think you need, and God knows there's five of the points that you need, and you don't need all the other stuff I was going to say. So I try to be real flexible about that. Diligent in study, but very flexible when I start to speak, because I don't want to say anything that isn't in the gold and silver category. I don't want things to be wood, hay, and stubble. But I had two dreams that would not leave me, and after having them, I felt that God said these have spiritual significance, Tom, for the Church of Jesus Christ, for your own life. The first dream I had, I was in a good-sized city, and I'd been traveling, and I was on my motorcycle, and the motorcycle had been impounded. I'm not sure how that happened. I think I had parked somewhere and didn't realize I wasn't supposed to be there or something, but the motorcycle was impounded. And I was lost as to where they had taken it. I don't know if you've ever had a vehicle impounded in a big city. We did. Pam and I had a van that we used for the ministry. For some reason, they towed it. We don't know why. We still don't know why. But they towed it, and this has got to be the biggest racket ever in Chicago. I was told when I called the police department that it was at the impound lot south of Chicago. I went to an impound lot that was acres and 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 acres of vehicles. And they were alphabetical, A through Z. I was in row J. Pardon me? I was in row J, our van, and this was ways from the city, south, down by South Bend, and you had to pay a lot of money to get your vehicle back. And when I saw these acres of cars, I thought, what kind of a racket is this way out in the country? Our vehicle wasn't parked wrong or anything, but it came along, and with the new gadgets, you know, they can just take them and go. And but anyway, if you've been through that, that's really frustrating. Well, my motorcycle in the dream had been, did I goof on something? Okay. We've had a little trouble with this mic. My motorcycle had been impounded, and so I was going to a faraway place to find it, where I thought it would be and where someone advised me, and I was on a bus. And God was just using me on this bus. Guy, it was unbelievable the way God was using me on this bus. I just couldn't talk without smiling the way God was using me. It's like everybody around me was asking me questions. I told my leukemia story over and over and over. The bus driver overheard me talking to somebody, and when he stopped to let me off at this impound place, he took my hand and just hung on to it and asked me if I would tell him the story. And I told him the story all about my leukemia and how God had touched me and how God had used that in my life. And it was just amazing how it was. And I was giving out copies of books. I don't know how I had them on a motorcycle, but anyway, it was a dream. But the spirit of the thing was that God was trying to get across in the dream was that I was being used in a marvelous way on this bus. I got off the bus and went in to get my motorcycle. and it was a greasy old garage with just oil everywhere. And as I sat down to try to find my keys and my fob, you know, those little electronic deals that you run your security on your motorcycle or car, I couldn't find it. And I had quite a bit of luggage, because when we travel on a motorcycle, we always carry quite a bit of luggage. And I was going through all my luggage, and I could not find the keys anywhere. And I'm searching and searching, and they say, we close in 5 minutes. And I thought, oh no, the bus has left, they close in 5 minutes. I gotta get my motorcycle, I've gotta get out of here, I gotta get on my way, I gotta get on my journey. And I begin looking through those, and I remember in the dream feeling so very, very frustrated. Couldn't find my keys, going through every compartment, trying to figure out, taking stuff out of my bag, trying to figure out where to set it, and there were pools of oil all over the place. And I'm trying to put it wherever I can. And finally, I can see my motorcycle through the glass over there, and I keep saying, that's my bike, and I'm gonna show you here in a minute. And they say, well, you gotta show proof of ownership, and you gotta find your stuff. And I couldn't find the keys, for one thing. Then I finally found the keys, and when I found the keys, the fob wouldn't work. The battery had gone dead or something. And so I'm sitting here on the floor with this oil all around, and I've gotten dirty. I've got my stuff all setting out at various places. I did find the key, and I cannot get this fob to work. And they're saying, we're beginning to wonder if this is a stolen bike. And I'm trying to explain to them, no, I'm a minister. This isn't a stolen bike. And you understand, I won't go into any more detail. Extremely frustrating situation. Feelings in my heart and mind like you've often had in your life of completely overwhelmed and confused about what all this is happening and trying to make sense of it. And I woke up. And I had a strong sense right when I woke up, because there was more details in the dream than I'm telling you, but I don't want to go too far with that explanation. And as I took my prayer walk that morning, I felt that God began to speak to me that there was a powerful message for us as American Christians in that dream. We are entering a time of extreme confusion, and it's demonic. We are entering a time of extreme confusion. In Revelation, it says that there is the appearance of the woman on a horse, and I'll go into that if I have time later. If not, I will another message. But there was the appearance of a woman on a horse. If you remember, on her forehead, it said Mystery Babylon. The word Babylon is interesting in the Bible, and of course, we're familiar with Babylon as the empire of old. But the word Babylon is interesting. If you trace it all the way back, it starts at the power of at the Tower of Babel in the book of Genesis. It was where they were trying to build a tower up to God, and he confounded their languages, and they became confused. And Babylon actually means confusion. It's interesting that in Revelation, the world wonders after a prostitute on a horse that has Mystery Babylon written on her forehead, confusion. Now, I'll go into that a little bit later, because there's something powerful in that that I want to tie in with this. And actually, the two dreams I had kind of go together. But we are entering a time, as I walked, and there was a lot of detail of that dream I didn't go into, but the theme of the dream is that God had used me tremendously on that bus. Tremendously on that bus. I don't know that I've ever been used of God at any few moments more than I was on that bus. But yet at the same time and in the same day, I have never been so overwhelmed, confused, and frustrated as I was sitting on that garage, dirty garage floor, trying to find my keys, and all it was trying to happen. All I was trying to do to get that motorcycle back so that I could get on my life's journey, okay? And what God spoke to me strongly is that there was a message in it, and there was a prophetic sense to it, that we are entering a time of Babylon, spiritually, of spiritual confusion, where there are going to be things happen in the course of a day, in the course of a week, in this year, that just you can't make sense of. It will throw you. But at the same time, if you're faithful, God will use you in the midst of it. But the trick of the enemy is to overwhelm you to a point where you just say, forget this. I'm never traveling again. This is more trouble than it's worth. I'm done with this. Anybody ever feel that way? And I felt like the Lord said, this isn't just for you. Now, you can say, well, Tom, that sounds like a pretty common dream to be prophetic. It needed to be common for me to understand it. It needed to be part of what we wear, part of our life. So it was very real to me. But I did have a strong sense in my heart that God had a message in that for us and for you, that we are entering a time of confusion. A time of confusion and chaos. In no way mean to be pessimistic, but I am into reality. And the opening of the seals isn't pretty. I don't like negative thinkers. Hello, the opening of the seals isn't pretty. I had somebody say to me, what are you into? I said, reality. I'm into reality. When the seals are opened, there's some interesting happenings in our world, and I believe, theologically, I believe that we are going to go through part of the tribulation period. You may not agree with that. That's okay. One of the requirements for going to heaven isn't agreeing with me on everything. I believe we're going to go through part of the tribulation period. And I believe that we are entering into a time when there is chaos and confusion in our lives. And we need to prepare ourselves and recognize that there will be times when we are so overwhelmed. And here again, the trick of the enemy is for you to throw up your hands and quit. The complexity of things will almost be more than you can carry. I can't do this. I'm done with this. I give up on this trip. Forget it. I'm never going anywhere again. This is more trouble than it's worth. They that endure to the end, Matthew 24, will be saved. If we will stay faithful during a time of confusion, of Babel, and I'll say more about that later, if we will be faithful in a time of confusion and chaos, at the same time, God will use us in a marvelous way. I'll come back to that in a minute. Dream two. Dream two was much shorter, very powerful. I want you to hear this. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. This needs to be heard. I came in these doors, and there was a service going on here. It wasn't you as a congregation. I don't think. I don't remember recognizing anybody in the crowd. But I do remember I walked through those doors. Listen carefully. I walked in those doors, and I stopped right here, and a service was going on. I can feel this right now. And I was just taken back. I was floored. There was a man walking back and forth up here speaking to a full congregation. And he was telling a story having to do with creation. And everyone was nodding and amening him. And he was saying, I couldn't see his face at first. He was looking away from me, and I'm over here, and everyone was nodding and amening him, and he was saying, I know this is a little different type of approach. I remember hearing him say that. I know this is a little different type of approach, but I want you to understand some things about mankind and creation, and he was preaching without a stitch of clothes on. Stay with me. I didn't say it for any response. This was impactful. And I was in awe, almost shaking, thinking, everybody is nodding and agreeing with him. He doesn't have a stitch of clothes on and he's preaching. What is this about? And I thought, there's no way you are doing this in this church. And someone in the front turned to me and said, oh, you don't get it. He's explaining creation, and he's you just haven't heard the whole sermon. You following me? You hadn't heard it, you didn't hear the whole sermon. If you'd have heard the whole thing, you would understand why it's important for him to illustrate it in this way. And right when they said that, he turned toward me and I saw his face, and it was the devil. And God said to me, that's exactly what's happening in the American church. The devil is coming in the front door, and because he's dressed a dad burn perfect, and because he looks real, and because he's got the right things on, everybody's nodding saying, oh, you just don't understand. There's a different way of looking at it. And it's the devil. Are you following me? And I knew in my heart of hearts. I knew in my heart of hearts that God had spoken. I can remember that as vivid as anything. I can see that image. And his face was shielded at first. And he was talking so suave. Everybody was, oh, amen, amen. And when I said, no, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this here. Someone said, oh, no, you don't get it. He's illustrating a point. He's coming at this from a different angle. You'll understand as he goes along. But when he turned toward me, it was the devil's face. I believe that we are entering a time of confusion and chaos in a time of horrible compromise and blindness. There are things coming in to the church and being accepted. You can call it anything you want. You can wrap it as nice as you want, but it's nothing in the world but the devil. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You can wrap it any way you want, but it's the devil. You can put as nice a bow on it. You can explain it in any way you want, but it's nothing but the devil. A time of confusion and chaos. It's demonic. I've wondered if having lacked the energy to preach is that the devil doesn't want me to tell my dream. I don't know. I don't understand all those things. A time of horrible compromise. First Corinthians 14:33 says, God is not the author of confusion. The devil is the author of confusion. John 8:44, I have up here, says that he is the father of lies. When he lies, it says in the NIV, I like it the way it says there, and actually to a degree, it is a commentary of what's said and inappropriate. It says when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he's liar and the father of it. And that's in essence, if you go back in the Greek, that is pretty much what it's saying there. Second Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11 says, and I'll read that. Second Thessalonians 2, verse 8, and then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie. A time of confusion and chaos. A time of horrible compromise and blindness. I'm going to read you a few things I wrote down. Didn't know what direction I would go, but knew I was to tell you my dreams. I have written here, don't try to figure it out. talking about the confusion and chaos. Because I believe it's a time that both dreams speak of, a time of confusion and chaos, a time of horrible compromise and blindness. Don't try to figure it all out. I want to read to you from a devotional that I get a lot from and enjoy. I shared something from this a couple of weeks ago that, find the right one, page 230, I believe, is the one I wanted to read. Understanding will never bring you peace. That's why I've instructed you to trust in me and not in your own understanding. Human beings have an appetite for trying to figure things out in order to gain a sense of mastery over their lives. But the world presents you with endless series of problems. And as soon as you master one set, another pops up to challenge you. The relief you had anticipated is short-lived. Soon your mind is gearing up again, searching for understanding and to master the situation, instead of seeking me, your master. The wisest of all men, Solomon, could never think his way through to peace. His vast understanding resulted in feelings of futility rather than fulfillment. That's interesting. I'm going to read that again. I don't know if you got that or not. The wisest of all men, Solomon, could never think his way through to peace. His vast understanding resulted in feelings of futility rather than in fulfillment. Finally, he lost his way and succumbed to the will of his wives by worshiping idols. My peace is not an elusive goal hidden at the center of some complicated maze. Look to me. You'll gain awareness of his precious peace. And she has the verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. I have written here, don't try to figure it out. Don't sit there on that garage floor in that oily mess, going through your stuff, and it's 5 minutes to go, and you're overwhelmed and frustrated. Don't try to figure out why that happened. There's going to be some things you can't figure out because the author of confusion, Satan, is taking over. It says in Revelation that he knows he has a little time, and during the tribulation hour, as long as the Holy Spirit is present in the world, he can't take over. But he steps up the pressure, and the last times, dangerous times will come, the scripture says. Don't try to figure it out. Don't sit there on that floor in that mess trying to make sense of this. And Lord, you said you would direct my steps. How did I get in this mess? I can't get my transportation, my journeys messed up. I'm overwhelmed and confused and frustrated. What God pointed out to me is let that go. Don't try to think through that. We're in a time of confusion, and the enemy likes to create confusing circumstances and then sit back and laugh. You with me? He likes to create confusing circumstances and then sit back and laugh. What you need to do is recognize that today God used you on that bus incredibly and look for those opportunities. The devil will scramble your brains if you start in the next few years trying to figure everything out, and you have to have control of it, and you have to have mastery over it, and you have to figure everything out. Let it go. There are some things that people have shown me in recent months even that I can't make any more sense of than the man in the moons. Anybody else relate to that? I've sat down and had discussions with people, and when I walked away, I thought, I never heard anything so confusing in my life. My daddy used to have a saying, how'd that go? My dad had a saying that said, sometimes me thinks, I still invented this yesterday, sometimes me thinks that everyone's insane but me and thee, and sometimes me wonders about thee. But sometimes it just seems like, I can't make any sense of this. You sit down and hear, and somebody tells you their story, and it's just confusion and chaos, and it's got compromise and blindness mixed in it, and Satan loves to create those kinds of situations and then sit back and laugh and watch you be frustrated. What God said to me in that dream is, don't let that sink the boat. Move on. Let it go. Don't try to figure it out. recognize that I used you on that bus, because in this confused mess, if you stay surrendered to God, God will use you amazingly. In that confusing factory, in that atmosphere that there's so much compromise and so much blindness, and God will use you if you're submitted and surrendered to Him. I have written here, you go to court. You're honestly seeking justice. You pray, you have all your friends pray. 10 o'clock, I'm going to be in court. Pray that I'll have justice and that things will work out. You've prayed for months. You took 2 days last week and fasted before you go. You get there to court. Two of the witnesses don't show up. The attorney can't find your folder. They postpone it for 5 months from now, and then they accuse you of something you didn't do. Anybody been there? And you leave the courthouse frustrated and confused, and the enemy likes to use that to discourage you. I'm trying to alert you to see through the blinds and see the devil in his camouflage. This is a new area of attack. We're all used to being tempted with raw sin. We're all used to that. But we're not used to the devil just throwing in confusion, 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 to where you're thrown and you think, man, I'm supposed to have a sound mind. I'm supposed to have understanding as a Christian. If I delight myself in the Lord, I'm supposed to have my path clear. Man, I am, my head is spinning. Anybody ever feel that way? As society goes more the direction of the author of confusion, right down to your phone calls, they're going to get more frustrating. You can't let it get to you. You got to let it go. And I think this devotional, this lady's on to something. She said, we have a tendency as human beings to want to master the thing. You know, I got to figure it out, and I understand it, and then we'll be able to get everything in a row. She's saying, no, don't go there. Recognize that this is a time of demonic confusion. And just bypass it. I don't understand this. Doesn't make a bit of sense. Did you have a good time on your trip, Tom, on the motorcycle? Well, most frustrating day I ever had in my life, day before yesterday. I'm still trying to figure out what that was all about on that garage floor, and couldn't find any of my stuff and nothing to work. And they accused me that it wasn't even my motorcycle. And then when it was all done, they were trying to tell me I'd stolen it. And was it really mine? I don't understand. Oh, by the way, did I tell you that God used me in an amazing way on the bus while in the midst of that mess? Did I happen to tell you that when I stopped at Walmart trying to get all that confusion worked out and buy the things I needed for all this stuff that wouldn't work, did I happen to tell you that I had an amazing talk and stood in the auto parts aisle and cried as I talked to a man who's going through a hard time, and God used me? Time of confusion and chaos. Don't try to figure it out. The enemy wants to overwhelm you. He wants to create fear. He wants to make you give up. And then I have written here, let me say those again. He wants to overwhelm you. Did that to me in the dream. Create fear. Oh, mercy. How's this going to turn out? Oh, my goodness. What? Look at all the directions this could go. Now they're accusing me that maybe this is a stolen motorcycle. And I've made, overwhelm you. Create fear. Make you give up. That's his ultimate goal. Throw up your hands. And then I have written, he wants to create a faithless hesitancy. Take away your confidence. A faithless hesitancy. He wants to take your confidence so that you're scared to step out in faith. You're scared to step out and do something. You're scared to go a direction because, oh mercy, what could happen? And it's then that the devil has a grip on us. I have written here, this needs exposed. This needs exposed. There are some things going on around us, even in people's lives, that are crazy and make no sense. But he's the author of confusion. The devil alerted me to this prophetic truth of Babel and confusion before that dream. My brother-in-law, Jess, and I, Jess, some of you know Jess, some of you don't, Jess, very, very godly man. He wouldn't want me saying that up here, probably, but he is. Walked with the Lord for years and years and years, and a very godly man. He and I both looked at each other with tears in our eyes, and we had a strong sense that all that mess we had in Haiti last time we was there, that was demonically originated. I have never seen anything melt down so bad in my life. A few rumors got flying. I told a little bit about it in the one sermon. And before long, the pastors were all at war with each other, and there was all kind of tension between the whole national committee, and they were choosing up sides, and 3 days went by, and Jess and I looked at each other and said, what happened? And at the end of 3 days, they had to have police at the meeting. They called the UN, the United Nations police, and had them there in Hummers for the meeting. I spent 2.5 hours on my knees. I said, Lord, I'm so confused about all this. There's so many variables in this. How in the world did I get into this? This makes absolutely no sense. And I felt like he said, break a stronghold, break a stronghold. And Jesse said, Tom, what do we do? I said, you and I and Kevin pray the entire meeting. And the UN came in. They asked me to get up and talk. And I said, no, don't interrupt me. I was praying. And we knelt on the floor for 2.5 hours. And my knees were so tired. And that's just because I'm old, not because I was so dedicated. I knelt on the cement for 2.5 hours. When I got up, my feet were numb. I couldn't feel my feet. All we did, God just said, pray, pray, pray. Let them see you on your knees. They need to see that's the only answer to this. And something broke. But I'm going to tell you, when I look back on that situation, I never saw anything so bizarre in my life. We all know rumors can get out of hand and people get upset. But the level it escalated was demonic. And Jess looked at me and he said, have you ever seen anything like this in your life? And I said, no. I said, this is unbelievable. People that we knew to be loving and caring, mad at each other, ready. We had lives threatened. I didn't tell you that. We had lives threatened. And that begins stirring me. There's something going on in the spiritual realm that's a little different. And God began walking me through this and taking me to scripture of Babylon, mystery Babylon, in the woman on the horse. And it's 11:30, so I'm not going to go a whole lot longer. Plus, this is heavy, heavy, heavy. This is heavy. Maybe I just need to tell you my dreams and you think about them. But then God began walking me in through a process here and letting me have these dreams, let me chew on a little bit more, and then give me some more and give me some more. But I want to tell you something. I do want to say something about Mystery Babylon. And I am going to read that, and that'll be the last part of what I say for today. Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me and said, come hither, and I will show you the judgments of the great prostitute that sits on many waters. Many waters. With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Ah, that's ugly stuff, man. That's real ugly stuff. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness, and I saw a woman set on a scarlet-colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, and had a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints. Man, that is heavy stuff. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Don't let Revelation tie you up. Revelation isn't complicated as it sounds. As you grow in the Lord, he'll reveal things to you. You'll piece it together. One struggle, just a quick exit ramp. Don't lose the spirit of what I just read. One thing people struggle with in Revelation, they approach it like it's chronological, because that's how we think. 1, 2, 3, 4, A, B, C, D. It isn't chronological. Best description I can give you for Revelation is it's like the Olympics. We're going to look over here and see what's going on. Now we're going to look over here and see what's going on. Now we're going to look over here and show you what's going on at the same time over here. And if you begin to think that Revelation, matching it with Matthew 24 in the book of Daniel, you'll start putting things in order and you'll think, this makes more sense than I thought it did. Mystery Babylon. I believe, and my father preached, and he was a prophetic follower of the word, I believe that Mystery Babylon is the great one world belief system. That's what Mystery Babylon is. And the reason it says she committed fornication with all the kings of the earth is because she sleeps with everybody. You with me? It's a religion that sleeps with everybody. You can be a Hindu. You can be a Muslim. You can mix in a little Christian. You can mix in a little New Age. You can mix in all kind of immoral activity, and you can just put it all in a pot, and it's all just under the name of Jesus. My friend, what does Jesus call his church? the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ. But Mystery Babylon, he said, she's a prostitute. She sleeps with everybody. And we got a one-world religion coming. You see it plain as day. Man, it's got everything imaginable mixed into it. And it hasn't got any clothes on. It's preaching and rapping. It's so nice that everybody's nodding and accepting it. But it's the devil's face. You follow me? It's the devil's face. And I'm sorry, in telling that dream, I got so upset. But that shook my foundations, because I knew in my knower that it was the truth. When I woke up, I said, Lord, what's the meaning of that dream? It's just like that. He gave me revelation, and I knew in my knower what that dream was. I said, that is precisely what's happening in the church. We're accepting everything imaginable. And it's okay. And it's okay. And you can believe this, and a little piece of this, and a little piece of this, and a little piece of that, and a little piece of that. You can sleep with every religion in the world, mix it all together. And as long as you're sincere, it's fine. He said, that's an abomination. Next time I preach on this, we'll see when I got the energy. But next time I preach on this, I want to go into, if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? And I want to talk to you about what our foundation is, and we need to get it straight. Okay, if this is a time of confusion, then what is the truth? What is the foundation? Jesus said, if you build on this rock, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. What is that rock? There's some simple things we're getting away from. I'll not go any farther with it, but I will say the first one is that the inspired Word of God is the Word of God, and it is the measuring stick for right and wrong, period. David said, if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? That's why people are frustrated. They're like, we don't know what to do with this. You try to talk with people, they got no measuring stick. If we all come in and we all bring our rulers, and Sue's is 13 inches, and Eric's ruler's 20 inches, and my yardstick's 36 inches, and Pam brings in one that's 14, well, we're all going to get a different call, aren't we? There's a standard. There's a scriptural ruler, and it's 12 inches. And that's what it is. And God's Word's the inspired Word of God. That's a foundational truth. And His Word is true, and it's forever settled in heaven. And everything in it will be fulfilled, right down to the punctuation. Jesus said, the jot and tittle, which is the old English way of saying even the punctuation, right down, that particular will be fulfilled. But if the foundations be destroyed, what will the righteous do? Well, you just got mass confusion. There's no standard anymore. Everybody's got a different measuring stick. And so God is calling us back to foundational truth. And there's going to be some cost to that stand. There's going to be some cost to that stand. A time of confusion and chaos. A time of horrible compromise and blindness. I know this has been heavy. Probably when I started telling my first dream, you thought, where in the world is he going with this? But I think you're understanding. I think it's making sense. I believe with all my heart that God gave me those two dreams that were unique to me in my life, but yet illustrated two principles that apply to all of us. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for this time together. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for truth. Pray you give us a keen understanding of truth. Give us eyes that see, senses that are keen to what's going on around us. Be with us as we go from this place. I'd ask that you'd help every single person here to know what they're to get from these words this morning. I believe you can apply this in different ways, help us to even see things in our own life. Thank you for visiting us. Thank you for the beautiful songs that you've provided us. Thank you for the time at the altar today. watch over us as we leave this place. Be with those of our group that are traveling and gone at various places today. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.